Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. On our website, there's a picture taken by Andrew Nixon of the Capitol Dome in Sacramento and a flagpole. The American flag is at the top, then the State of California flag, the POW/MIA flag, and then the LGBTQ rainbow flag under those. Governor Gavin Newsom says his administration raised that pride flag this week at the state capitol for the first time in our state's history. But is it the first time? The PolitiFact California team, based at Cap Radio, jumped into the fact-checking on this one, and reporter Chris Nichols is here with results. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Beth. Good to be with you.
From the get-go, having a flag flown at the Capitol, any Capitol in any state, seems to be a significant gesture, and people notice.
I agree. I think it's definitely significant. It's not an easy process. It's not like anyone gets to fly a flag. You have to go through some bureaucratic hoops. And I think that's why this story is so meaningful.
So the pride flag was raised 2 days ago. And how did the governor make the announcement? And what did he say?
He made this announcement on Twitter. He said it was, you know, the first time in our state's history that this flag has flown over the Capitol. And then he had a picture of the flag, below the American flag, the state flag, and the POW flag. So it was very clear image of the flag, but then he immediately got some pushback on Twitter, on his tweet. A small group of former Senate staffers, LGBT staffers, pushed back against the governor's tweet and said, no, this is, in fact, not the first time that this has happened.
In fact, there was a picture to prove it, right?
That's right. Several pictures. We've sort of been flooded with some pictures from an episode 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago, back in 1990, October of 1990, when this group of, again, Senate staffers worked through the legal channels at the Capitol. They went and won approval from the Joint Rules Committee to raise the flag and have it go up and represent the causes that they were fighting for at the time, the rights that they were pushing for. And so there's, you know, documentary evidence, a front page photo, an article in the Bay Area Reporter newspaper showing the flag. Other publications reported on it at the time. So we took a look at this. We spoke with some of the staffers. We spoke with former Senate staffer Michael Bozia. He was part of this small group that worked to raise the flag 3 decades ago, and he was really upset at the comment or the claim by Newsom that this was the first time this had ever happened.
I think we should add then the context, because it's one thing just to fact check it and say either this is a yes or a no. But it seems especially important when it happened in 1990 because of the social climate, the political climate, and the situation in California under which it happened.
Right. I think this was a very different climate 30 years ago. Acceptance for LGBT rights and individuals was certainly not as strong as it is today. I received one photo collage from a separate Senate staffer, Ken Topper. He also worked to win approval and raise the flag. He still keeps this photo collage at his home of himself standing in front of the flag raised at the Capitol from 30 years ago, speaking with a TV news station about it. So it certainly was meaningful. It was a different period in our time, like you said. And I think those former Senate staffers really wanted people to know that they were the first ones to do this.
In fact, you did record a conversation with Michael Bozia.
That's right. We have a soundbite from Michael talking about his concerns.
By not acknowledging the role of LGBT people in our own community's history, the governor kind of erases what we have tried to accomplish and what we have fought for.
And I also want to note that this was a very serious effort that took time. I think Ken is the one who explained the process. it wasn't just like a one-off or some kind of a stunt or something like that. That this was a concerted, important effort at the time.
Right. It wasn't a stunt on the collage that he sent us. And again, I don't have all the details of the process, but he talks about on the collage, it says months of work, 1 hour of glory. So I think that gives you an idea of at least the effort and time that was put into this. And that's part of why we looked at this and we sort of felt there was clear evidence, not just to say that a flag, a pride flag, had maybe hung somewhere at the Capitol at one time, but actually went through all the channels, was sanctioned by the state, and then did fly there at the Capitol.
In 1990, did you see anywhere where it was said that that was the first time?
The articles and then the staffers do say that, to the best of their knowledge, it was the first time back in 1990. Yes.
And something happened at that point with the governor, who was George Duke Majan. This didn't continue to be without controversy.
That's right. And the flag did not fly very long. After only a few hours, then Governor George Duke Majan ordered it taken down. So this was a brief episode. Still meaningful, though.
All right. We've spent a lot of time on the circumstances of what happened in 1990 and the context in PolitiFact fact-checking. You go to the source. So I know you contacted the governor's office, and meaning Governor Newsom. What happened?
We did. We contacted the governor, and his office released a written statement where the governor said essentially that he was not initially aware of the 1990 flag raising. He acknowledged that. And then he added, however, that after learning about this episode, that he said, quote, "This piece of our state's history deserves to be called out and recognized." So in sort of a rare move, at least for the people that we fact check, he did acknowledge that he was wrong and that this was an important piece of history. And so we don't always see that, but we've included his full statement in our article online at politifact.com/California.
Which sounds like his staff then did fully research this, because it's more than one or two lines in his statement. There is reference to the detail that you just said about how Governor Duke Majan at the time handled all of this.
That's right. And I think that with the tweet that he put out, I mean, it received almost immediate pushback. You can go look at it online, and you have people commenting, not just commenting and saying that he's wrong, but showing images of this front page of the Bay Area Reporter from October 1990, an image that we also have in our article showing a photo of the flag flying over the Capitol. So I think it was, in a lot of ways, this was a very, both a meaningful story and a very visual story with visual documentary evidence of what the facts are.
How long will the pride flag fly at the Capitol in Sacramento?
The governor plans to have the flag there through the end of the month until July 1st, through Pride Month.
All right. So the PolitiFact rating on this one, although I think I can guess at this point.
Right. Well, we rated Governor Newsom's initial statement false, and the full version of that is up online for everyone to check out.
I'm talking with PolitiFact California's Chris Nichols. The team has also been working on an update to the Newsom meter, which I think it's been a little while. Why don't you explain the Newsom meter?
Right. This is a project where we are tracking 12 of Governor Newsom's campaign promises, the promises he made running for governor on everything from education to the environment, housing, homelessness, healthcare. And for this report, we decided to look at his promise that he would provide access to universal preschool. That is something, early childhood education is something that's been a priority for Gavin Newsom. He talked about it a lot during his run for governor. And so we thought now that the fiscal year budget is being put together, we would take a look at what he's doing on that topic.
And he did address this in the budget.
He did. And I think the most significant sign of progress that we found is this proposal to pay for 10,000 additional state preschool spaces. And so that would add to what is already about 175,000 spaces that the state pays for low-income families. And we talked to a number of experts about this to get a better sense as to how much progress is that, how far does he still have to go. And we learned, I think, just for some context, that there is a long way to go. And I think the governor would acknowledge that, too. There's just to meet the immediate need for low-income families, the state and experts estimate you would need to create about 30,000 additional spaces, not just 10,000.
Three times the number that he
proposed. Right. And that doesn't get to universal preschool, which would be a system where everyone, no matter their income, has a preschool available to them, essentially in their neighborhood.
Tell me about the conversation you had with the Stanford professor.
We spoke with Deborah Stipak. She studies early childhood education. She talked about Newsom's progress, the moves he's made. She calls them a step in the right direction, but she also says, as we'll hear, that she's not satisfied right now with the move.
I am delighted to see that he's making these steps. I expect more. And we'll be disappointed if we don't see a fair amount more coming out over the next couple of years. But I think it's appropriate for him to really, I want him to invest smartly, not just more money. And I think taking some time to really figure out what is the most cost-effective, strategic, effective way to invest in young children is a wise thing to do.
So where then is the PolitiFact California team on this, Chris?
Well, we essentially looked at this. We said, okay, there is progress. He's taking steps, even if there's a long way to go. Of course, it's early in his time as governor. He's just a few months in. We rated this in the works. That's sort of the first rating that we can offer on our Newsom meter. It indicates that the promise has at least been proposed or is being considered. The governor still has to sign the budget. He's expected to do that later this month. But we do see signs of progress, and we'll continue to track this one as well as all the promises on our Newsom meter.
The Newsom meter can be found on the website.
That's right. Same website. If you go to politifact.com/California, I believe there's a tab on promises, and you can check out what we're tracking there.
Okay, two more quick questions. The first Democratic presidential debates are next week. Two different nights, Wednesday and Thursday. The California candidates are both in the Thursday night part of the debate. So what's happening? Is PolitiFact California checking and National PolitiFact checking?
Well, there's actually three California candidates. There's Senator Kamala Harris. Everybody knows her. There's Congressman Eric Swalwell, Bay Area Congressman. And there's the self-help author, Marianne Williamson. She's also on the debate stage Thursday night. So we will be monitoring all of their claims, fact-checking them on social media, looking at statements, seeing if we've fact-checked any of their statements before. They tend to repeat the same statements. And then we will follow that up as necessary with any fact checks the next day or the next week, depending on what they say.
And final note, unrelated to fact-checking, we mentioned you earlier this week when we were talking about the podcast 395, which Cap Radio has just kicked off. And we mentioned part of your episode, a story from a mountain marine base. So interesting, and they actually want the public to come visit.
That's right. I was pretty surprised when I went up to the Mountain Warfare Training Center. This is outside of Bridgeport along the 395. And the base commander, Colonel Kevin Hutchison, he told me that he actually welcomes people to visit what is kind of considered a hidden Marine Corps base. He wants to sort of establish stronger ties between the base and the community. And I think that was an interesting little element of the story connecting what they do, which is training for war in these high elevation spots, to the actual town and community along Highway 395.
It's great that you could work on that podcast as well as everything else that's on your plate. Chris, thanks. It's always a pleasure to have
you
here.
Thank you, Beth. Nice to be here.
That is the PolitiFact California team reporter, Chris Nichols. You can find the fact check information and a link to the 395 podcast at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.